plugging away, and I didn't know if it was going to happen through nine, but you know, good back nine here solves a lot and gives you a chance. So it was just great that everything fell into place for me, and I'm a proud Australian, and I hope this sits really well back at home. Got him out the dryer,
he's hot, found him in full. That's a safe bet. Welcome into The Zone on this Monday. We appreciate you joining us in the Fury Electric studio. Justin Akery joined by Christina LeCure, because it is the Monday after the Masters, and who better to have in on a day like today?
Well, thanks.
The only golfer I know who is almost as good as you is Clint Sterner, and he's going to join us in studio today, too.
Woohoo! I'm playing Clint's event May 3rd. I'm looking forward to it.
He's coming in to talk about it. We will talk about the Masters. We will talk about the weekend at Hot Springs. And I want to give a special game ball to our man Ben Fury of Fury Electric, who took home an award this weekend at the Builders Convention. I was emceeing the event, and by emceeing, I basically just announced the winners. It was pretty easy.
Ben, you win.
Yeah, so it was good. He was one of many, so a lot of local construction outfits were honored. It was a nice event, and appreciate them letting me be part of it. But it was a big weekend in Hot Springs. That was all going on down there as well, in addition to the Arkansas Derby. Congratulations to Todd Pletcher, who is a rising star among trainers. He's a well-known name in, you know, horse racing circles. He has not risen to the probably household name level of a Dwayne Lucas or Bob Baffert, but he's getting there. And with the number of horses he's going to have potentially running the Kentucky Derby, he's a guy that more people will become familiar with. It is also tax day. I have a list of bizarre taxes we will talk about. Game balls and jock straps, and a charity event we're going to visit about as well. If you want in on the Masters, feel free at 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. I do want to congratulate Chris Thompson, who had Adam Scott and Tiger Woods as his two golfers. His overall score of minus 14 wins by a single stroke.
Oh, really?
So congratulations to him.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was good. All right, so let's talk about the golf first, because there are a lot of side stories with this thing, with the Tiger Woods, I call it Tiger droppings. You've got the whole deal with the 14-year-old being assessed a one-stroke penalty for slow play. We've got the Stevie Williams connection. There's so many different angles. But let's talk about the golf itself. And to me, the big thing is, and Harry King and I talk about this every Monday, it is typically a guy choking it away and the other guy kind of weaseling his way in.
Yeah.
Now, certainly you have to play well to put yourself in position. But this was so great because you had two guys who clearly like one another, have respect for one another, who were both playing at an unbelievably high level in tough conditions with the rain, different conditions than they played in all week, and they both played so well, and one guy just played a little bit better by making a couple of key putts. It was so much fun to watch for the average golf fan, or for somebody like yourself who is far more than just an average golf fan.
Well, I mean, average golf fan, anyone who knows anything about golf, you know, Trey was just in here earlier. It's amazing. To me, Masters Sunday, there's nothing better. Mm-hmm. I love waking up early, going to play my own golf, and then parking myself on the couch for the next 7 hours and not moving. But it was amazing. It was so much fun. My brother texted me about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, and he's like, oh, this just isn't like giving me the same thrill. I kind of want Tiger in it, and it's not like the best Masters I've ever seen. And I saw on Twitter a couple of people were putting like, this is just isn't the one. And I was like, hold your seats. It always happens on the back nine at Augusta. Mm-hmm. I mean, the back nine at Augusta is where it all happens. You know, if Tiger would have made one or two more putts, I think that he would have probably been in it. But when Cabrera made that putt on 16, I thought, it's game on. And then Jason Day, 3 birdies in a row on the back nine. I mean, he's ahead by one. And then Adam Scott makes a clutch putt, too. And then on 18, when Adam made it, I was like, oh, my gosh, the game's over. And then Cabrera, for my husband and I both said to each other, for a man who uses a translator for everything, he said, quiet please, as clear as I've ever seen anyone speak in my life. I was like, it was the most quiet please, clearest English you've ever heard.
The interesting thing about that is, just a sidebar on that for a moment, is that his kid is on his bag, which I thought, A, is a great experience. And I'm thinking at night, he's got to go to dinner with his kid. And I know it's a small community. I've talked to friends who have been. I mean, it's not like there are a million places to go eat. There's only a handful of places. So I'm thinking,
barely.
The quality time you spend with your son and how cool that would be and what a neat experience. But normally I would think that would be, and I guarantee if that's Adam Scott, that's Stevie Williams, quiet please.
Yeah.
But instead, it's his kid, and he may not feel comfortable doing it, so it's Angel going, look, I got this. Shut it!
Yeah, and he says it as plain English as you've ever heard anyone say. You'd think the guy's language was English first. But anyway, quiet please, stands up to it, absolutely stripes it, and he's yelling at it. Well, if you don't understand Spanish, you no idea what he's saying, but he's walking towards it, and then the minute it hits the green, you're like, no way. And like my heart went up. Everyone started screaming. Well, it was just Nathan and I on the couch, but we were like yelling, and my phone is just like vibrating like crazy, and Twitter is a mess. And Adam Scott, when he's signing his card and you only see the back of his head, I mean, in an instant, I bet he thought, oh my gosh, I've done this. And then, like, literally, it's got to feel like a half a second later, oh my gosh, I got to go back out and do this again.
That's the thing. And I thought from an emotional standpoint, he would not be able to bounce back, because that is such a high. And to celebrate the way he did, to be able to come back and play as well as he did in the playoff was remarkable.
I think the best thing for him was that it happened in that 2 seconds. Like, he didn't have time. I don't think his brain probably processed what had just occurred.
Yeah, think about if there had been like five groups behind him, then he had to wait on.
Exactly. That would have been a whole different ballgame. But he had like time to sign his card, basically stand up, maybe use the restroom, and go back out. But Cabrera was just on. And, you know, it was funny. A friend of mine texted me the night before, and he said, who's going to win? And I got a lot of texts. And I just said, Cabrera, he's been there. You know, I just thought, for sure, Cabrera, been there, whatever. And he texted me back. He goes, what about Adam Scott? And I go, you know what? Adam Scott, I think, has a really good chance due to the fact that he's not in the final group. He's been putting well, and his putting is definitely what has held him back in for so long. And so it was just funny that those two ended up getting in the playoff.
I like Adam Scott. I don't particularly like Stevie Williams. I thought he handled the whole Tiger breakup pretty poorly. I understand why. I mean, there's hurt feelings. If I was in his position, I'm sure I would have handled it much the same way. But it was a bad deal, and I don't like the way he's acted in a couple different situations. However, you do have to give the guy a game ball on this Monday, because his caddy, or his player did. I mean, Adam Scott is the first guy to come out and say, he read that putt for me. I didn't see it the same way. I trusted his read. I don't ask him for many reads, but that helped him win it, and he gutted that winning putt.
There's no question about it. And like you said, on, you know, Twitter is kind of the place for information right now. And one of my girlfriends on Twitter said last night, she's like, you know, if you're not talking about the Masters right now, I don't know why in the heck I'm following you, which is kind of true. Every single person almost that I follow was talking about it. But she said, for those of you who don't like Stevie, you've got to give him prep, because he said that ball does not, it holds its line, and everyone feels they always overread that putt. And that putt holds its line. And he literally, I don't know how that putt went in the hole. I mean, when you look at it, he caught the bottom edge of that cup.
That's the putt on 18.
On putt on 18.
I'm talking about the playoff putt. The playoff putt, he said, was read for him by Stevie Williams. Because he said he read it a ball and a half out, and he said, no, it's a good two balls out.
Okay, I thought he was talking, I thought there was reference to the putt on 18 as well, but maybe not. Because I always feel like the putt on 18 is always read wrong. They always think it's going to break more. Someone commented on that.
He almost missed it.
I think it was Brad Faxon. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
He caught the bottom.
Yeah, he came in the wrong door.
Like, eighth of the hole.
Yeah.
But I mean, that when that ball went, and it was golf gods were there a little bit, I'll tell you that much.
It was impressive for sure. I mean, he played extremely well, and again, he didn't really putt overly well through the day. I mean, it was kind of an issue for everybody.
No one putted well throughout the day. That's the thing. There was not a single good putt made really throughout the whole day.
Well, the only guy that made any putts was Bernard Long early, but the thing
early,
is the more
yeah.
it rained, the worse it got. And I think there was such a great variance between the speed they're used to at the Masters and the speed they played at.
Well, 18 is a perfect example. Everyone comes in on the 18th fairway, playing the ball way on the right-hand side, almost in the bunker. It catches that slope and feeds all the way back to the hole. We saw the last four groups in, everyone hit that shot except for Cabrera.
Right.
He went right at the pin. And I don't know how he knew. Well, obviously, he knows that the greens had slowed down. But every single person played that ball way out to the right, hoping to catch the slope, bring it back to the hole. Well, that ball didn't get near the hole the way any other time it had.
That's right. Well, and he played so well. He was so much fun to root for, too. I mean, that's the thing. I think he couldn't go wrong. I was actually pulling for Jason Day. Jason Day is a guy, if you missed it, on the second hole, he eagles out of the sand, which was amazing.
And he birdies one. He's 3 under after two.
Yeah, so he had a great round going, and he had the lead standing on the 16th tee box and ends up losing. But
yeah, he's had trouble
he
closing,
admitted, though,
but he did it yesterday as well. I mean, I think he was 5 over in the last 4 holes on the weekend. That's the reason why he's not wearing a jacket.
Well, he admitted that he got stressed out. He admitted that the pressure got to him, and it's unfortunate. But the more you put yourself in that position, saw with Adam Scott, he melted down at the British Open.
Exactly.
The more you put yourself in the position, the more you get, you know, an opportunity to win it.
Absolutely. you know, I know a friend in Dallas. Jason Day actually lives in Dallas, and I have a friend who lives in Dallas and says that Jason Day is one of the greatest guys. And I also have heard that Adam Scott is probably one of the most loved players. I mean, I heard last night that the press room, when he went in the press room last night, he got a standing ovation. I don't know the last time that that's happened for a player where all the media and all the press like the player that much.
That's
that
great.
They stand up. It was wonderful.
I talked to somebody today who knows him and has met him at least and said he's as nice a guy as you'll ever meet.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
I would also say it's funny how we talk so much about Nike with Tiger and Rory and the contracts.
Tight list.
The equipment changes, and yes, he's a Titleist guy. So I'm sure for them, they're like, yep.
Heck yeah.
Good move for us. So yeah, good for him. I'm happy for him. And again, it's nice to be able to root for a guy. The other cool thing was, and you never see this, especially in a playoff situation where everybody's sort of stoic and focused, but those guys are giving each other thumbs up, and Cabrera sort of started, and Scott gave one back, and they played together on President's Cup teams, and that was cool to see. It's almost like they were both, not that they were rooting for each other, but that they were, I guess they both wanted to play well. And the cool thing was, again, as a fan, you want to see great golf, and the one guy just golf a little bit better. Yeah. And I mean, Cabrera had a chip in that almost went in, or chip that almost went in.
I even tweeted that. I said, who's going to chip it in right now? And Cabrera almost made that. Yeah. I don't know how it didn't go in.
For guys
so
that good, those are both makeable.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. It's an uphill chip, uphill putt. Greens are slow. I'm surprised that neither one of those went in, but it was great. And, you know, Cabrera, not only after Adam Scott on 18 in regulation makes an unbelievable pole putt, then Cabrera is in the middle of the fairway, absolutely stiffs it, and walks up there. And the thing is, he did not even stress out like an fraction over that 3-foot putt he had.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it's a 3-foot putt. Mm-hmm. But that putt to anyone else would look like 45 double breaker. Like,
yeah.
And he just stepped up there and, you know, knocked it in. Is like, game on. Let's go again.
The other thing that's good for golf is you saw these two guys in contention. Both guys play relatively fast. Brant Snedeker plays the fastest of anybody on tour, maybe a little too fast for his own good at times.
A little bit,
but he's a guy. But again, I think that's good. And slow play came into focus this weekend, and we'll talk about that coming up.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. You know, it's funny, though. We talk about the same old, and a few things that always happen, it seems like at the Masters, happen again. Sergio Garcia doesn't always have good rounds, but when he does put himself in position, he usually melts away. That's exactly what happened. He blew up, although he did have a nice final round on Sunday, so that was good to see. Rory McIlroy had a 10-point swing between his Saturday round and his Sunday round. He shot 79 on Saturday, 69 yesterday.
Yeah, he played well yesterday.
And then you had Freddie Couples. Same deal as usual. I mean, it's happened the last few years now where he plays well enough on the weekend,
well,
or like leading into the
Wednesday,
weekend.
We talked about that.
Played well enough going into the weekend to put himself in contention. Then he melts down on Saturday with a terrible round. And yesterday he played okay, but it was that Saturday round that blew him out of contention. So, and then Tiger Woods, another top five finish for him. And again, the penalty, huge for him. Mentally, he had to think, I've got to play perfect golf, which is a huge amount of stress, no matter how good you are.
Well, he said yesterday that he said the number in his head was 65.
And he was right.
He had to shoot 65. Well, he actually only had to shoot 66 in order to get into the playoff. But 65, he said, 10 under would win this golf tournament. And these guys know. They know exactly what it's going to take. And Tiger knew. He said it's going to have to... It's 10 under is going to win this golf tournament. Well, 9 iron got you in a playoff. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just great golf all around. But, yeah, what you were saying about Tiger, and I'm sure we'll touch on it more, but mentally that 2-stroke penalty probably – he knew what he had to do on Sunday. It just wasn't there.
It was a 3-stroke swing at minimum Friday. It may have been more like a 4-stroke swing considering he could have had an easy birdie putt.
I had a hard time getting accustomed to the speed. The speed was so much slower than it was yesterday, and that's before it rained. Then it changed pretty dramatically, so I struggled hitting the putts hard enough. Every putt I left short probably for the first 8 holes. I played well. Unfortunately, I just didn't make enough putts. I also missed a few shots here and there, so I certainly had an opportunity today. If I shot 65, I thought I could win it outright, and it looked like that might be the number.
Win or lose, Tiger is the story. He always is the story, and I'm fine with that. However, I didn't like the... And this is not a knock on my man Rick Schaefer, other than the fact that he's an ultimate optimist. I didn't like the Schaefering of the tournament all day, which was, he's 6 strokes back, but he, well, come on. If there was one other guy in front of him, fine. There are 8 guys in front of him. We relax. The fact that he got to 4th place was remarkable, but he finished 6 strokes off the pace, okay? Let's not act like he was even reasonably in contention. He got within a few, but there were so many guys in front of him.
Honestly, Justin, I would typically agree, but I don't. On 16 yesterday, when he had that birdie putt on 16, the guys were only at 8. He was at 5 at the time.
Yeah.
If he would have made that putt on 16, this would have been a different golf tournament.
But Christina, he didn't make any putts. That was the point. You watch the way he plays. The eye test does not lie. He did not make anything yesterday. So why do they think miraculously he's going to start making putts left and right?
Because he's Tiger Woods.
I understand that.
It happens all the time.
The guy is leaving. I've never seen him leave a putt 15 feet short. He did it yesterday. And again, the greens had everybody fooled. Nobody adjusted very well. The guys finally, they got to the playoffs, started figuring it out a little bit. But nothing I saw from him yesterday made me think, yep, he's got a charge in him. And I know the more you doubt him, the more he's coming back, blah, blah, blah.
16.
But there were eight guys in front of him.
16. If he would have made that putt on 16, which he missed by a fraction of a hair, he thought that that ball was going to hold its line longer, and it didn't. He missed it low. Had he made that putt on 16, in his mind, he's going, there is no question I can burn 17 and 18. I've done it a million times before. All of a sudden, he's tied for the lead. If he had made that putt on 16, for me, the putt on 16 was, Tiger makes this, it's a brand new ball game. He missed it, it was game over.
Okay, he finished four strokes back.
Yeah.
He played.
But at the time, he was only three strokes back. Had he made that, it was two. Then he birdied 17, 18, boom, he's in the clubhouse leader at eight.
So then Adam Scott and Cabrera would have been playing to
keep out
of the playoff.
It doesn't matter. You have Adam Scott and Cabrera two holes behind going, oh, crap, Tiger Woods in the clubhouse with eight under.
I don't
different
have
ball game. I don't care.
Well, that's
different
fine. That's easy to say. But the problem is this: you'd have to go through all the scores. But all the guys that were involved in the leaderboard, mm-hmm. nobody birdied 17 and 18. So to say theoretically, sure, maybe so. Maybe mm-hmm. every hole he goes out on, he could potentially birdie. You can say that about anybody.
There's no, you can say that about Tiger Woods.
You can say that about any PGA golfer. They could all birdie any hole if they hit a great drive and a great second shot.
It's Tiger Woods. I honestly, I am not even the biggest Tiger Woods fan, but I am telling you as a golfer and. If an actual golfer can call in here, and even Trey walks in, whatever. If Tiger Woods birdied 16, I believe the odds were 50-50, and that's pretty darn good odds that he would have birdied 17, 18. In my mind, he make that putt on 16, he's in-house clubhouse leader.
Okay, I am not a great golfer, but I am someone who is logical and analytical, and I'm looking at the way he played, and I'll even give you a birdie on 16, 17, and 18, something nobody did. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And he still misses the playoff.
If Tiger Woods was sitting in the clubhouse at 8 under, the mindset of Cabrera...
Cabrera's mindset was the same, because Cabrera had a 9 under he had to chase on the last hole. He was already down one. He had to birdie it to get to the playoff. So his mindset doesn't change. His mindset's the same. I have to make birdie. Quiet, please! I have to make birdie here! Quiet, please!
Okay. I'll grant you. I'm not going to win.
I'll grant you the Scott fight.
We need a third person in here.
No, yeah. I'll grant you the Scott fight. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. His mindset may have been a little bit different, thinking, oh my gosh, if I don't birdie here, I'm going to. Maybe he messes up and makes bogey. Maybe so. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I just didn't see it from Tiger yesterday. He put himself in position. He struck the ball really well. He had no bogeys and three birdies on the back. He played extremely good golf. I didn't see it from the putting stroke yesterday, and it's too bad because he did have a chance to get himself in contention, which is incredible considering the four-stroke swing on Friday. For those of you who missed it, Tiger Woods has a third shot. Was it 15?
15.
Third shot into the hole. He hits the pin, it bounces back in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the whole drop of it all. But think about what he's sitting at. If he doesn't hit the pin, maybe it sits close. He definitely has a birdie putt. It's on the green somewhere if it stays on.
Oh, there's no question.
So if he makes the birdie, great. But if he makes just par, it's a three-stroke swing by the end of it all once the two-stroke penalty and the penalty for the water was assessed. It is that alone, for him to be even in the conversation, for us to be able to argue about whether or not he could have gotten himself back in after that, on this course with these guys and a former winner in the mix and a guy who's been around, hanging around as a top five player for the last 5 years, that's amazing. That, to me, it's almost more impressive that he got fourth after the penalties than if he had won the dang thing.
In my opinion, it's great that he came back. I still firmly believe he made that putt on 16. He's in contention.
Think about
he
this,
may
though.
Win.
Think about
playoff.
This, though. If...
If he didn't, it would have been a whole different Masters.
Forget Sunday, but yeah, you're right. No, you're right. But think about it. If he doesn't, if he makes birdie on 15 on Friday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Four strokes difference.
Yes.
If he makes birdie, four-stroke swing, and
Sunday
he loses by four.
Sunday on the couch would not have been as interesting.
No, it would have been.
It wouldn't have been. It would not have been.
Because it would have been Tiger Woods cruising to victory.
Everyone's mindset is so different when Tiger Woods is there. That I'm not going to back down on. Tiger Woods in the mix, your mindset, Adam Scott's mindset, Angel Cabrera's, and by the way, it's Angel.
It's Angel Cabrera.
Oh my
it's
gosh. You telling me it's Angel on Wednesday.
No, I didn't. We weren't even talking about him. We were talking about a completely different golfer.
Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Yeah, we'll go again. I don't want to get into that again because that's a nonsensical going nowhere conversation.
All right.
That one I'm definitely right on. You can argue over the Tiger point.
Okay.
So you're assuming that Tiger, if he makes birdie
in,
on 15 Friday.
It's a whole nother golf tournament. If Tiger Woods is tied for the lead, has a one-stroke lead, totally different golf tournament. Who knows what would have happened?
No
completely
doubt.
Completely different golf
he
tournament.
He might have run away with it.
Absolutely.
He might have won by five strokes.
Anyone else may have come up as well. You never know. It's a completely different